The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be featuring an interview with the Jewish Hour's own co-producer and arts and culture representative, Mrs. Chana Finman, my dear wife of over 32 years and change. In the second half hour of the show, we're going to be also interviewing Dr. Bruce Rubin, who is the doctor in charge of Encompass Healthcare. He is an infectious disease doctor, and I think we really need to talk about Zika, the Zika virus. And that's what we're going to do in the second half of the show. We've got lots of great music. The portion of the week is Titzave. We're continuing with the building of the sanctuary in the desert. Portion, chapter 28 of the book of Exodus and following. We've got a really good Hasidic story. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Arab terrorists broke into a synagogue in Karnei Tzur, south of Hebron, stacked the Torah scrolls in a pile and set them ablaze, destroying the synagogue. IDF forces are looking for the terrorists. The Israeli rabbinate is refusing to renew kosher supervision of food plants in the PA-controlled areas. The decision came in the wake of violence in the past 3 months. It is too dangerous for rabbis to travel to the area, and kosher certification cannot be given without supervision. The ban will be lifted when it becomes safe to travel again. A $3 billion weapons deal will be signed next month between Israel and India. India will buy from the Israeli munitions company 164 laser systems for its air force and 250 precision-guided bunker-busting bombs. Congress passed the bipartisan Trade Facilitation and Trade Enforcement Act, which makes it illegal in the country for any business to participate in the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, known as BDS. President Obama is expected to sign the measure. On the home front, newly married Rabbi Yehuda Brickman was stabbed in the upper back in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, by a black assailant. He was rushed to Kings County Hospital in serious but stable condition. Police have the incident clearly on video and are looking for the perpetrator. And finally, this is really interesting, at the request of Israel's religious ministry, it is now possible to find the closest mikveh, which is a ritual bath, on the Waze app. More than 55,000 people search Waze using the search word mikveh during 2015, and that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Mrs. Chana Finman, my dear wife of more than three decades, is the co-producer of The Jewish Hour and also our person in charge of culture and arts. At least, thank God, some of us have got culture. How are you today, Mrs. Finman?
Got culture. I'm good, thank God. And I'm excited to be on the program today.
It is always an honor and a treat. And we do get lots of feedback when you when you're on. So you were just recently in New York. And your travels and travails. So what brought you to New York to begin with there, Hannah Finwood?
Yeah, well, I wanted to make mention of the fact that I was, we say in Yiddish, like Zeicha. I merited to be invited to attend a conference of the International Shluchos, which are the representatives of Chabad Lubavitch, the International Conference of Shluchos of the year 5776 on the Jewish calendar, which is always in commemoration and honor of the Yahrzeit of the Rebbe's, Lubavitcher Rebbe, whose wife, who we were all so inspired by, and on her Yahrzeit on the 22nd of the Jewish month of Shvat, women gather in every community who remembered her and honor her. But this conference is something kind of off the charts because it's international, and these are representatives that, you know, have synagogues, have schools, have institutions, or teachers, leaders from all over the world. So I could be sitting at a table with someone from the Chabad representative from the Far East or Hong Kong or from Laos and Cambodia, or an outpost, say, in Ukraine, or next to me, I sat next to several women from different small towns in France, and so on and so forth. And everyone has an extraordinary story and an extraordinary life. Everyone is the same on one level, that they're trying to educate Jewish people and wake up the Jewish people from a slumber in terms of identity and Jewish observance. However, everyone is completely different and an individual, and each person's story is quite different from the next. So it's never a dull moment hearing the fantastic things that people are doing, sometimes at great sacrifice, sometimes with great ease and lavish abundance. You know, it's the whole gamut. So I was thrilled to be invited to this conference again, and I got a lot out of it, very inspirational, and there's nothing that can compare to being in a room with 3,000 like-minded women who are very proud of their Jewish identity and are very inspired to share whatever they can within regards to that.
Mm-hmm. What one thing would you say you came away with from this year's conference, Hannah Finwood?
Yes, fearless. Be fearless. There's a lot that we could be fearful about. A woman who I had a dinner with, a young woman in her 20s who was in Rouen, France, R-O-E-N. I always say Rouen when I read it on a map, but she's in Rouen.
Fair enough.
Not far from Versailles. And she said that they will be fearless. I said, well, what about in the South? We hear on Herschel's show and other Jewish news outlets, you know, in the South, in Marseille, in Nice, how terrifying, Toulouse. There was an ordinance, a proclamation, for men not to have to wear, even though according to Jewish law they always should be wearing a yarmulke, a head covering, a little cap, a little beanie, you know, our yarmulkes in public. It's a religious tradition. And the religious rabbis were thinking perhaps we should tell them that it's permissible nowadays not to wear this in public, not to scream, I'm a Jew, in public in France, right? It's just regalia. It's just clothing, right?
Yes.
And I mentioned that to her, and I said, what do you think about that? And she said, no. What we need to scream fearlessly is remove the terrorists from France that are hurting everybody, and that the Jews should wear their yarmulkes fearlessly. The fear should be on the terrorists. She turned it completely around and said, that's who should be fearful, not us. The terrorists should be fearful because we have to get them out of there. And she said this with such conviction. So that, I would say, across the board, was an attitude that I found with everyone, whether they were working, making new progressive programming of inclusion for special needs children and adults, which is a big thing in the Chabad Lubavitch nowadays, all over the world, the dignity of the human being. That was the core feeling. And do these tasks without fear, because the inner feeling is that the Rebbetzin, the Lubavitch Rebbe's, late Lubavitch Rebbe and his wife, his late wife, had so much courage. So at least we should take from them that attitude and have courage and fearlessness to do whatever tasks are at hand wherever we might find ourselves.
Okay. That's
really powerful stuff.
Really powerful, indeed.
Yeah, powerful stuff.
Okay, so you...
Whenever
you go to New York, you always seem to find some sort of jewels that you can report back to here of things that are happening in the art and culture world. So what did you find this time, Hannah Finman?
Too much. So much. I mean, New York, you know, there's a lot of Jewish people in New York, New York City. But I love it. I love New York City, and I love exploring around. And, of course, there's the Jewish Museum, which is a been there for a long time, you know, on Park Avenue, on Fifth Avenue, on Museum Mile, which everybody should get to sometime in their lives. So obviously you're going to find Jewish exhibits there, which I hope there will be time for me to talk about some of the highlights. Also, Jewish subjects is easy to find. There's a JCC on 75th and Amsterdam on the west side. They always have a really incredible small little gallery on the when you come in in the lobby there. You know, it's something amazing, so I went there. And then there's the places which aren't Jewish per se, but you look around and dig deep, you'll find something with a Jewish message. So I went to the Neue Gallery, which is N-E-U-E, if you do look it up, it means new, which is a wonderful gallery, which I've spoken about before. It's called Naya Gallery, but it's an actual museum. It's one of my favorite places in New York. And there, of course, there are many, many, many Jewish stories, which I could talk about one or two things I saw there.
Mm-hmm. That's where the Woman in Gold is, right?
Yeah, and then I could talk a little bit about that. The you had done a wonderful show about this particular picture and its provenance and its... what do you call it, acquisition, because it was a Nazi confiscated artwork that wound up in the museum in Austria. Long story, great movie, The Woman in Gold, and the portrait of Adele Bloch Bauer, The Woman in Gold, is housed in this space. By all means, go see it. I happened to be there on a day where admission was free, which is unusual because it's an expensive museum to get into. I think it's $29.
Wow.
General admission is $20, pardon me, and students and seniors is only $10. It's not terrible, but still $20. It's a lot for a museum. And, but they do have free days. So if you ever go to New York and you want to see this particular Klimt painting of Adele Bloch Bauer, which was considered the Mona Lisa of Vienna, which was Nazi confiscated art that was actually returned to the niece. What's her name again? It slips my mind. And then she sold it to Ronald Lauder, who bought it for his museum for $130 million or so. But it's really the general public. Anybody's welcome to view this great painting of Adele Bloch Bauer, beautiful woman, in painted in gold leaf and painting. It's an exquisite painting. I've seen it many times. It has a great backstory, which you've talked about on your show. But by all means, go to this museum. There's always something there that has a Jewish story of great poignancy and great historical value. So that's the Neue Museum.
Is everything in the Neue Gallery Jewish oriented?
No. No, but they did have a show fairly recently, which was a recreation of the degenerate art exhibition that the Nazis organized in order to show off the quote-unquote new art, the modern art, which was to them degenerate art, which included Jewish and non-Jewish artists. But many Jewish artists, like Chagall, is in there, and a lot of Jewish artists as well. But that's a historical stain, you know, that horrible exhibit where they had actually very interesting art tour around Germany during the pre-war period to demonstrate the corruption of the new art, which was done in a really sick way, which is, and hundreds of thousands of people came to view that exhibition. So it was sort of like the beginning of the Nazi tone of despising anything that didn't look perfect. And of course, the new art from 1900 to 1930, in that period, was all the new art, which just was distortions in order to create a point of view, right? So this breakaway, interesting art, they called it degenerate art. That's a whole history in of itself. But the Naya Museum went to the trouble to recreate as much of that as they could. And people from Michigan who were interested in the arts, I know, flew to New York just to see that exhibit last year. I didn't go, but I spoke to the curator, PR person who were on this year about that exhibit. And, yes, of course it had a Jewish resonance and tone to it because that was sort of like the beginning of that mass propaganda to learn to hate things that really didn't deserve it. Hate at all, right? So they do interesting things there. So there's always some Jewish slant, and you go in the bookstore and you'll find plenty of material that has to do with Jewish cultural life in Europe before World War II, which is basically what that museum features, is mm-hmm. Austria and German forward art. Forward-thinking art from about 1900 to about 1940.
Okay. Where else did you go, Hannah Finman?
Well, it was all over the place. Up the street from the Naya Gallery, there is an amazing place that all Americans should try to get to sometime in their lives. They're in New York City. It's called the National Academy Museum. It's on 89th Street and 5th Avenue. You know, if you find the Met, you just walk up the street and pop in and out of the smaller museums. This museum is fantastic because it's pay as you wish, so that's nice, right?
So if you wish and nothing, you can pay nothing. If you wish nothing, you can pay nothing.
Yeah, but they claim to be the first, you know, museum / art school in America. Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, which I talked about on your show, also has that claim, so who knows? One of them was first, one of them was second, but that's their problem. It's housed in a beautiful space. It's worth it just to go and look around a beautiful Beaux-Arts interior. It'll blow your mind away. I went there. It was actually empty, which is also nice, go in the morning. But they had a small show featuring a Jewish artist, Miriam Shapiro, a visionary. That's the name of the exhibit, a visionary. So, of course, I'm curious, right? Miriam Shapiro is someone I've touched on over the years in my art history pursuit of knowledge. And what was fascinating for me was seeing a retrospective of her pieces. In short, if you Google Miriam Shapiro, you'll be able to see pictures. Nowadays, it's not so hard. But one of the pieces that had an actual Jewish feeling to it is an iconic piece, which is in all the art books. It's called My History. She did it in 1997. You know Miriam Shapiro, born 1923. She passed away in 2015. So, you know, there's a feeling to rethink her work and what she contributed to art. Okay? She contributed a great deal, and I won't go into the whole thing. Majorly, if you can imagine for a moment, it's like, you know, telling someone to smell something on the radio.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to ask you to see something on the radio. Well, this piece, which has Jewish content, is shaped with one, two, three, four, five. You know, when you were a little kid and you drew a house and it was basically five lines. Mm-hmm. In the bottom of the cube, and the top of a triangle. That's a house. Right. You know, when you're a little kid and you make stick figures?
I still make houses like that. What are you talking about?
You still make houses like that. Right. So that shape, she made canvases in that shape. No small thing to do that, actually. And so it looks like a house. And in that house, she has pieces of, like, compartments of Jewish symbols. So it's complicated in the sense that she's trying to say a lot of things in one piece. And it's very personal. It's about her history. It's in 20 compartments. And in each compartment, there's Jewish symbols. It's topped by a menorah, if you can imagine that. And they include a Star of David and elements that suggest domestic work by Jewish women, such as a handcrafted challah cover. That was my favorite part. References to Jewish history. And, of course, references to the Holocaust. Now, this piece...
Let me interrupt you. Is this a painting or is this mixed media? How does she present it?
Right. So she created a new art form, and it's done in that art form. She was a leader and actually an inventor of something called pattern and decoration. She tried to create a movement. You know, you've heard of cubism, it's a movement. You've heard of impressionism, it's a movement. Realism, photorealism, blah, blah, blah. So there was a movement called pattern and decoration. What was that? She, with some other women, who were the visionaries of the 70s, of the women's movement, art/educator/lecturer/innovator in the arts. Just a brief history here. Miriam Shapiro came into the art scene when women were not very welcome in that scene. It's hard to believe now. You go to an art school, and so many women doing artwork. You go to an art show, so many women represented, but it wasn't always that way. And she wanted to get, this is what I thought had some rhyme and reason in connection to the conference that I attended in Brooklyn with the 3,000 women from all over the world, because she wanted to give dignity and honor to the work that women did in their homes. You know, in our modern world, now we're in a postmodern world, but in the 70s, we could say it was still a modern world, coming out of the modernist time. And in those times, it was really about how much money you made, what kind of car you drove. That was prestige. And what women did in the home was invisible. It was like you didn't mount anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, 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 that's not true. That's why she puts a challah cover in this beautiful, iconic work she made. It looks like a house. Because the things that women do in the house have incredible dignity and have an incredible impact on the whole world, starting with their families, their neighborhoods, their people, the world. A little holodeck, a little sanctity, a little beauty in the home.
Mm.
Personal. It's not visible. It's invisible. You don't see from the outside. The impact is incredible. So she's cool to me because she is incorporating the ideals of the women's movement, that women should have more representation in the arts. That was a big deal for her. But it was also to give credibility to the work that women did that was invisible. So you ask me what she makes these things out of. It's all of her work basically has this decorative, pattern and decorative orientation, because that's what she was into. Snips of fabric, little painting areas, ribbon, you know, a photograph. You don't know sometimes if it's a photo or if it's a painting, and you have to look really hard. So that's, you would call it mixed media, Herschel, because it's taking a little bit from everything and implanting it, whether it's gluing it down or whatever the technique she had to get all the stuff together, and then you take a step back, and all this complicated patterns and decoration, which in art speak were not considered important in the 70s. If you think about art that was created in the 70s that you see in big museums, it's a lot of gigantic pictures, very minimalist, very cold. She came around and said, forget it. Intricate, pattern on top of pattern. It's so beautiful that when you get up close and you see how intricate the actual handcrafted craft which she was trying to give nobility to, women's craft. I know everybody listening had an auntie or grandmom or them that made crochet, that did beading, that did weaving even. All kinds of women's craft. She tried to incorporate that handcraft into the work to give it a new dignity. Ah, this isn't merely craft that's done at home and thrown on top of the challah. This is a work of art. And to give women the pride that the world should have for that kind of work. So that's why I love Miriam Shapiro. And of all places to find this work was at a American institution, the National Academy Museum and School. Look it up on the internet. It'll floor you with its impact.
That sounds amazing.
It was.
If you're just tuning in, our guest today is Hannah Finman, co-producer of The Jewish Hour and the person on the show who knows about art and culture. Me, I talk about art. I need a ruler, a square, and a triangle to draw a straight line. So, and I once was asked to draw a picture of a duck, and I put four legs on it. But anyway,
yeah, but it was adorable.
It was an adorable four-legged duck. Yes. Anyway, so you mentioned before we got to wrap things up over here. But you mentioned before about the Jewish Museum. There's always things going on over there. What did you see in the Jewish Museum in New York?
Right.
Kind of
so, thanks. The Jewish Museum is mind-boggling, and it started out as a museum a long time ago with a bunch of menorahs, a couple of portraits, you know. And what it is now, I think it is 30,000 pieces that they can play with in their permanent collection. And then, of course, they have ongoing, very edgy, exhibits.
What was on special? What was on special today, this week?
Well, it's kind of hard to talk about because there's so much, but the power pictures. Whoa, it's really intense works. You have to eat before you go because it'll burn up so many calories in your brain. This is about early Soviet photography and early Soviet film, which was something new for me. It's something I don't know much about, but I'll just read you an excerpt from one of the zillions of pieces on this temporary show, which is just about over now, unfortunately. But there's a book that one can order, which goes through the entire show. But listen to just this. I'll read it out loud because this blows your mind. I mean, they have really edgy stuff. Alexander Rodchenko and Varvara Stepanova. Who's that, right? We don't know this, but they were very famous in the day. 10 years of Soviet Uzbekistan, 1934. Okay, so they're going back in time, big time warp, and you're looking at photography and posters and actual full-length films that many Jewish people were involved with, and then not because the regime clamped down on all this, right? So I'll just read out loud a little bit from this one thing of this, like 20 pages of stuff they gave me there. A little book. It looks like a little red book by the people I just read. And it belongs to the Museum of Modern Art. It's on loan to the Jewish Museum here. Just this one little item. Okay. This elaborate slipcased photo book celebrates the 10-year anniversary of the Uzbek Soviet Socialist Republic within the Soviet Union. Okay. This is history here, okay? A marvelous example of Rodchenko and Stepanova's inventiveness. If you're a photographer or you're interested in the history of photography, you know these names. Otherwise, it's new, right? It contains numerous foldouts, acetate overlays, maps, and a die cut. So it's an interesting book. It's a creative book made in 1934. Within a few years after its publication, many of the people depicted in it had fallen victim to Stalin's purges. To avoid a similar fate, owners of the volume, including the artists themselves, were required to erase those figures with ink, cut them out, or throw the book away. That's interesting. So imagine that times 100. And it's very intense. The place was packed with photographers. And, you know, in New York City, you have a lot of people who are interested in photography. That room was so stuffed. And I went to peek on the Battleship Potemkin film that was being shown simultaneously in another room. It was packed. People were standing in this auditorium. It was amazing. So Jewish Museum, yes, it has a permanent collection. It's a must-see. The Duras Europa Synagogue reproduction is amazing. Go see that. I love it. Oldest synagogue probably on the planet from Syria with all kinds of beautiful artwork. It's a reproduction. The real one is in Damascus, I hope, still, unless ISIS has bombed it away. I don't know. Or stolen it, right? Because there's a lot of that going on with antiquities in Syria. ISIS is making a lot of money that way, unfortunately. But a replica of the oldest known synagogue actually is from Syria. And it's Western Syria. But the reproduction is beautifully done in the Jewish Museum in New York City. And to see that Duras Europa synagogue takes your breath away. It's so beautiful. It's like Bible pictures all over. Why do we have it? Because in ancient times, there was some terrible battle, and they covered the entire synagogue in sand. And it was discovered in like around 1930, and everything was perfect from antiquity. So that's a wowee kazowie. That's in the permanent collection. So if you're, if you're cruising through New York City, that's a place to pop into the Jewish Museum and enjoy that.
Okay, that's great. That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Hannah Finman, for catching us all up on wonderful things that are going out and about and around in the world. And we want to thank you so much for coming.
Well, thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You too. We'll see you lunchtime. Okay, that was Hannah Finman, our co-producer and arts and culture person. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Stop paying more than your fair share of property tax now. I'm Stephen Poulter, attorney at law and president of Express Property Tax Appeals. Right now, your commercial property tax assessments are in the mail. Like many commercial property owners, you're probably paying unnecessary and exorbitant property taxes, potentially costing you hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. Express Property Tax Appeals can help. I recently reduced one of my clients' property tax values by $2 million, realizing $250,000 in real tax dollar savings. I can do the same for you. If you're a commercial property owner, manager, or broker, and are tired of paying more than your fair share of property tax, call Express Property Tax Appeals now at 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. That's 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. You have nothing to lose except your looming property tax burden. I'm Stephen Poulter with Express Property Tax Appeals, and I look forward to saving you money on your property taxes.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Koren Publishing sent me to the next two volumes of the Koren Talmud, Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz. Fascinating. Masechtas Gittin and Kiddushin, both in one volume apiece, which is actually pretty monumental in itself. Kiddushin's not so long. Gittin's a little bit on the longer side. I would have put it in maybe two volumes because of it, but they actually did an incredible job. Gittin deals with getting divorced. Kiddushin deals with getting married. There is a Talmudic joke as to why the tractate dealing with divorce comes before the tractate of getting married, because it's impossible to get divorced if you're not married. But it says that the Almighty, whenever there's a disease, has always provided the cure for it beforehand. So we learn about getting divorced before getting married. So that's a rabbinic joke. Not a good one at that, either way. It's just continuing. If you have not yet subscribed, this is volume 22. We're up to out of 43. They're halfway through. It's something to get. Subscribe to it. It's worth it. They'll mail you one volume at a time. Up to this point, they're going to mail you everything that you you need, and you can become a Talmudic scholar. And then call me or drop me a line at rabbifinman.com. We have On the line, Dr. Bruce Rubin from Encompass Healthcare, who is a proud sponsor of the Jewish Hour. How are you today, Dr. Rubin?
Great. Thank you for having me on the show, Rabbi Fitman. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
It is indeed our honor. Okay. So there's this whole media thing going on with something called the Zika virus, and I'd like to set things straight about it. First of all, for those people who haven't heard about it yet, what is Zika?
Zika is the name of the virus. It's a flavivirus, which is a virus in the family of those that we know of, one being West Nile virus, another being dengue virus, viruses which are transmitted by mosquitoes and transmitted to people. Most often, people transmit viruses between them. But what I think is really got the news' attention is the fact that this is mosquito-borne. And to set the record straight, really it's an innocuous virus. There's probably a lot more viral infections that are reported because it really presents as a flu-like illness that is self-limited. It's not fatal, and there's really rarely any cases of fatalities. In fact, there hasn't been one yet.
Would you say that this is sort of like the product of a slow news day in the media, that suddenly it's like, you remember a couple of years ago, there's like a zillion shark attacks. But if you look, you'll see the year before there were more shark attacks than the year that they reported. And there were more shark attacks the year after, but they didn't report it because they had other things to report about. This has been around for like 8 years or so before it was actually picked up by the American media. So is this something people who are traveling to, say, South America, Central America, need to be concerned about when they didn't even know about it 8 years ago, Dr. Rubin?
Actually, it's not a media hype. It's real because there is an epidemic. And what's important is not who's traveling to South America. It's really important if you happen to be in the gestational period of pregnancy, because what we're finding is people who are infected, women who are infected during gestation, can potentially have children that end up with microcephaly, which is a learning or a significant limited brain disability. So it is important, and that's really what everybody's concerned about. So if you're going to South America, Central America, it is very epidemic right now. It's important to have mosquito repellent if you're a female in that time period of your life.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get the flu either, so I would definitely use mosquito repellent myself.
That's right.
There've been reports that they've found the virus in bodily fluids. What about passing it that way? You said it's not between people, so
I don't think there's information yet that has described passing the virus between people or vertically during,
contact.
Yes.
Okay, so now, how long does, if a person gets bit by a mosquito, I've heard that it could take like several months before a person shows any signs of the Zika virus being manifest in a person's body.
I don't know where you heard that.
I heard it on the news, but, that's where I get all my information from.
My information is that this is a relatively innocuous virus, which has rather acute symptomatology upon contact or inoculation. I would say probably the evolution of the disease would probably be anywhere from 5 to 14 days.
Okay.
With a mild prodrome, a fever, some chills, some muscle aches, some joint aches, and then you get better.
Mm-hmm. Does the person at that point develop an immunity and they never get it again?
I think that would be the case for sure.
Mm-hmm. So how come it's taking so long to develop a vaccine for it, Dr. Rubin?
That's a good question. Flaviviruses are interesting viruses in the way in which, they are there. The virus structure is such that it doesn't have much protein and carbohydrate, and those are the substrates that are used to make a virus. If a virus doesn't have those substrates that are easy to find or get into a laboratory situation where you can actually get them, then it's very hard to get a vaccine made to it, because our bodies make antibodies to carbohydrate and protein. And so if you can't really find a good protein or carbohydrate, it's very hard to make a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really have vaccines for the other viruses in that family, one of them being West Nile virus, another being dengue virus, which is an extremely severe infection. Also mosquito-borne.
Mm-hmm. So people who are planning on going to Brazil for the Olympics, for example, this summer, shouldn't really worry too much, then, I gather.
They shouldn't worry too much, but they certainly should. As you mentioned, I wouldn't want to get a flu either. I would definitely take some mosquito repellent that has at least 40% DEET concentration and make sure that I cover all of my exposed areas during the daytime, which is when the mosquito that inoculates people with this virus usually bites. And also at nighttime, because malaria is an issue, there's the Anopheles mosquito, which is the nighttime biting mosquito.
Okay.
So any kind of exposed areas during that period of time, you know, good mosquito repellent or wearing long sleeve shirts and long sleeve pants would be recommended.
Effective. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that, Dr. Bruce Rubin from Encompass Healthcare, and taking out some of your time and clarifying all that.
Well, that's great. You know, thank you very much for having me on the show, and I want to wish everybody in the audience a Shabbat Shalom.
Okay. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We played a song last week called Yadaiti. Was done by Yerachmiel Begun's son. And someone wrote in and said that song was actually done before. That was a remake of Avram Fried. And I hadn't really registered in my head that indeed, about 10 years ago or so, maybe even more, Avram Fried did a song called Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Same words. He called it Master of the World. And song we played last week was like the next word after that, Yadaiti, I know. So we have, for your listening pleasure, this is Avram Fried, Rabbeinu Shel Olam.
Yudati, yudati, ki hinni beyotchu, beyotchu, beyotchu levad. Ki hinni beyotchu, beyotchu, beyotchu levad. Kach oimer, kach oimer, beyad, beyad hayoytzair. Riboinu olumim yudati, yudati, yudati. Ki inni beyotchu, beyotchu, beyotchu levad. Ki inni beyotchu, beyotchu, beyotchu levad. Kach oimer, kach oimer, beyad, beyad hayotzai. Hay ve im gam me samays ve yts ois de sach vi lois ve sach vi lois de ve khol yoy shvay sai vel ya mdi li mi di le oy shi ay ni ve lis moy khnafshi mi va la va dai mi va la dai skhu ve
Someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week, the portion is Tetzaveh, deals with the clothing of the priests, the Kohen Gadol, and how to consecrate a sanctuary. It's found in the book of Exodus in chapter 28. There's something called the anointing oil. Anything which was to be used in the temple had to be anointed with a special oil. And there were things specifically, it wasn't just spritzed on, little sprinkles here and there. There were certain things which specifically were anointed with, in a specific manner. They put the oil on and then they spread it with their finger to form, as Rashi says, the Greek letter kaf for Kohen. So the question comes up, okay, so it's anointed that you want everybody to know that it's a Kohen, that the Kohen meaning priest. Understood. Why not use a chaf? Use a Hebrew letter. Why was it specifically that it was anointed with something that was the shape of a Greek letter? And if you're going to say it was the shape of a Greek letter, if I understand, the letter is sort of like, kind of like an X. So say it was like two lines intersecting at an angle or something like that. Why specifically say
it's a Greek letter. Specifically, at this point, there I don't know what kind of Greek letters there were. This is 3,300 years ago. I don't even know if the Greeks were writing letters at that point. But that's the way it's described. The real Baba Sharevi comments on this and says, everything that's in the world was made to utilize, not to run away from. So even something which is so antithetical, such as Greek culture, for example, you know, the story of Hanukkah with the Hellenists and assimilationists and all the things that people were getting sucked into Greek culture. If we are able to utilize whatever the world offers us in somehow serving the Almighty, then what we do, believe it or not, is we suck out the holiness from that item and elevate it to a state of where it becomes part of our sanctuary. And thus, as we said in last week's portion, it says, make for me a sanctuary that I can dwell in you. This has to be in every facet and aspect of our life. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? RabbiFinman.com. www.rabbifanman. Yes. You'll find archived editions of the show. You'll find a way to contact me. Other things that I'm doing in presenting Judaism in an entertaining and educational way. And, of course, the donation page. I have to talk about it. We thank God we paid off January. Now we have to continue. If we want to continue, listen, next month, beginning of March, is our 20th anniversary. We've done this now for 20 years. I was a little kid with a very high voice. No, actually not. But I was I was 20 years younger. And it's all because people like you have stepped up and have contributed to what you believe is a very worthy cause, because you're listening to it, you're enjoying it, and you're learning. So go to RabbiFinman.com, go make a donation, keep the show on. Don't like using internet? Fine. Drop a letter in the mail to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. This week's story involves the Rebbe's father, Lev Yitzchak Bardichev. A man by the name of Ozer Wienikersky came to him in the early 30s. He had been drafted into the Ukrainian army and didn't want to go. You could imagine. There was no place for a nice Jewish boy. So he said, Rabbi, I want a blessing that I don't get, don't pass the tests, and they don't let me into the army. So the rabbi told him, listen, the day that you're supposed to go, you should go, before you go, you should say these chapters of Psalms. You should give this amount of charity. You should go on this specific path to get to your induction center. Before you walk in the front door, you should picture in your mind the four-letter name of God, which is Yud and He and Vav and He. And then, when you are inside, you should have absolutely no worries. So he followed it to the letter to the, and tell me how it went. So he followed all the instructions to the T, and he got in. He's given a clipboard. This is what they do. And he had to go from station to station to be examined by a doctor who was a specialist in a specific field. That's how they do it in America also. And he went from station to station, and doctors wrote things down. And when it came time to the end, so it was decided, well, how are we going to grade you? So the person took a look at the clipboard and just looked at this person pitifully and said, you poor man. He says, I don't even know how you're so alive. Every single doctor wrote down that you have some malaise, ailment, or disease. So we cannot take you into the army. I'm sorry. So the man said, oh, I feel really bad that you didn't take me into the army. But he left. And he, of course, was he was a picture of health. So we see that just relying on small miracles sometimes does happen. We can appreciate them if you know that they're happening to you. Just have to see it. That's going to do it for the show. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week this week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
I needn't cry anymore. Now we all know what you've long known before. Sad that it took all one's lifetime to see. Peace wanted just